Good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System provided by Kilo Bravo 8, Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found at www.scarsavoip.com. You have many net controls, or I guess we have one net control this evening, but we do have a lot of people who probably will ask questions. And our net control this evening is K04REK, Art. I believe he's in Bowling Green, Kentucky, if I'm correct. I'm merely opening it up this evening. My name is Kathleen. My call is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I'm located in the city of Port St. Lucie, Florida, where we have a temperature of about 84 currently, high of about 89 today. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, please come aboard. All right. Hearing no emergency traffic, and that's always a great thing. How about anyone celebrating their birthday this week, last week, today, next week that would like to come aboard so we could say happy, happy? All right, hearing no birthday stations, you know, that means we're not getting any older. Oh, wait a minute. I do know someone who has a birthday today. It's me, myself, and I. So I thought I'd share that with you so you can say happy, happy to me. So this is the TIN Open Forum. It's a monthly Thursday informational net open forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. Do want to advise you that it is being recorded for future presentation on our website as a podcast. So if you're part of this session this evening, you most definitely will be part of the recording. Now, our program tonight, being presented by one of our very own, Art McFadden, K04REK, is about ransomware. So hopefully you've thought up some questions and hopefully you'll enjoy what he presents. So Mr. McFadden, R04REK from Kilo 6 Sierra United November, are you ready to take the gavel?
K04REK, K04REK. Copy. Correct. Accept responsibility. Over.
All right. Good evening, Art. It's all in your hands now. Just present your program and throw it to the crowd there for questions and or check-ins, however you want to do it, and have a lot of fun. Back over to you, Art, R04REK from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
K04REK, K04REK, United States First Responder Retired, former United States Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force, and Geek Cop, also, unfortunately, Child Sexual Crimes Detective. Tonight, I'd like to talk to you about ransomware, how it affects us as individual citizens, and how it affects us as small business owners or business employees in general. It's hitting all of us in all different ways. That's what I like to speak about tonight. I would like to get input from everybody else. So if I've got any other cyber cops out in the audience that are allowed, if you're UC, undercover, I understand you cannot disclose, but at least sit back and laugh at me if I do something wrong when I'm talking to you tonight. Do we have any law enforcement that can disclose that they are cyber cops right now? KO4REK, taking a nickel. Over. KO4REK. I got no response. So we got one or two things going on. We have a bunch of cyber cops that I hope are just listening quietly, and they are not allowed to talk. Or what's worse is we don't have cyber cops listening, and there's not many of them out there. And unfortunately, I know that to be the truth. So tonight we're going to talk about ransomware, how it affects us as individuals, our children, our employers, and everything in between. This crime actually started quite a few years ago. If I could ask if anybody can respond, has anybody heard or been affected? And if you're not comfortable to responding that you've been affected, I understand completely. If you think you're embarrassed, I get it. Don't respond. But I'd like to know, does anybody personally know anybody that has been hit with ransomware that affected them personally or on a business level? KO4REK, over.
W4RFJ.
W4RFJ. Rookie controller, please go ahead.
Okay, I didn't quite get that controller thing, but anyway, yes, work for, also known as the Southeast Pennsylvania Transit Authority, got hooked on one of those ransomware things, and we were without email and or computer usage for almost a year.
KO4REK, you are not the only governmental entity that's been hit with it. I will tell you, I'm going to make a generalization statement right now. When government entities have been hit with ransomware, and we're going to have to define it and find out what we're talking about before we go much further, I can tell you, don't blame the IT people. They're the ones that were jumping up and down screaming, we're about to have our you-know-what handed to us. Please don't do this. Generally, the IT people are the ones that were the first ones in the know, and unfortunately, everybody with money strings, they ignored them. I'm going to take a nickel, KO4REK. Okay. Let's go at least into a first easy definition as to what ransomware is. I'm not going to give you some kind of Oxford definition that's boring, it's dry. Here's what it means. A bad guy gets a hold of your stuff and makes it where you can't get a hold of it. You're very frustrated. The bad guy wants money and says, give me money or you're not getting your stuff back. Literally. Now, when they mean you're not getting your stuff back, it's because of what's called encryption. Now, encryption is generally a good thing. We need it. Our health records, our social security numbers, anything that's very confidential to us needs to be encrypted, or in other words, made in a format that nobody else can read it easily, to say the least. Bad guys make it so you your own stuff. That's what the big problem here lies. So now the bad guys say, you're going to pay your data back. They're going to make you pay in a very, very specific way that can't hardly be tracked, called, there's very many words to describe this. Cryptocurrency is the most common word. To describe what I'm trying to say to you, which is an electronic fund that is very difficult to track, if not impossible, and it branches across governments without their absolute knowledge. In other words, you could have cryptocurrency in France and not have to have current permission from the France government to be able to do this, depending on where you are and where you're doing the transactions. It's fairly complicated, and that's why the bad guys like it, because it's also very difficult to track. Has anybody been victimized due to cryptocurrency? If you don't respond, I don't blame you, but I'm sure somebody out there has. KO4REK, taking a nickel. Someone please tell me I didn't break the internet. KO4REK, continuing. Has anybody been victimized over the internet that they're willing to disclose as far as financial crimes? In other words, someone got a hold of your credit card and they charged up something in France and you've never been there a day in your life. Those types of computer crimes are also very rampant right now. Anybody been hit one of those that is going to disclose? KO4REK.
KB9EWG.
Station calling. I'm sorry, my ear is only good for 3 digits. I'm not good enough yet for ham. Go ahead, sir.
Good evening. My call is KB9EWG. My name is David, and I'm here in Wisconsin. I have not been personally attacked, as you're talking about, but I do have a question for you, sir.
KO4REK, go ahead, please.
Okay, you're talking about cryptocurrency and people being hacked and such with cryptocurrency. Now, you hear about the cryptocurrency all the time, bitcoins and everything else. Is there actually a legitimate use, or, you know, is there a way to actually use cryptocurrency without being hacked? I mean, is this a legitimate thing, or is all cryptocurrency bad? KB9EWG.
Excellent question, KO4REK here. The answer is, like anything else in life, it's a tool. I can take a hammer and build a church. I can take a hammer and build a church, or I can take a hammer and commit a homicide. Of course, I'm sorry, I go from one end to the other being a retired police officer. But yeah, cryptocurrency is neither evil nor good. It's just a mechanism on how we pay our bills. It's no different than anything else, except for the weird part that it crosses international lines so easily. And in a way that we've not seen before in human history when it comes to money. So I would not say cryptocurrency is necessarily an evil thing. Neither is something I'm going to talk to you about, which is called the Tor Onion Network. We'll talk about that here in a moment. Once again, and that's called the dark web. Everybody thinks that's got nothing to do with bad things. Well, I got news for you about our things that are good that occur on that mechanism. But once again, it's neither evil or good. It's how we apply it. Over.
Okay, well, thank you. I just wanted to get a question going here to help get the ball rolling here. So appreciate it. KB9EWG.
KO4REK, thank you. It was an excellent question. So what happens if you get hit by Crypto Locker, which is the most famous one in the English language for ransomware? There are other types of ransomware. The reason that we call it Crypto Locker is because kind of like those of us that are 50 or older, everything was a Xerox machine. That's not a true statement. There are a lot of things that make copies that are not manufactured by the company Xerox. But those of us in my age group, we may call it that machine because that was the most common one when we were younger. So just like when we talk about that, we talk about cybersecurity threats. I want to give you a easy way to think of something. It's called malware. Malware, first word, mal, malicious. Second word, ware, as in software, firmware. So malware just means bad stuff. Well, Crypto Locker, ransomware, whatever term you want to use, by the way, the correct term is ransomware. Crypto Locker just happens to be one of the most famous ones that was early, comes into play. I'm going to take a nickel. KO4REK. Anybody got any questions yet? I'm either doing really good or I'm doing really bad. But anyway, what happens is the victim gets their data encrypted. The bad guy says, you're not getting it back unless you pay me through cryptocurrency, which means we can't track it. That's how they want to get paid. By the way, the suspects are nowhere near the United States of America or any of its territories. They were in countries that are not very friendly to us. Do you think that Art McFadden can write a search warrant that's valid in the state of China? If you believe that, I've got a bridge to sell to you. International crimes cross multiple hurdles One of them meaning the treaty between the two countries. Even if that country is an ally of ours and a citizen commits a crime in their country that is also a crime in our country, does not mean they automatically get shipped back to the United States. So the biggest problem with computer crimes is not only will they prosecute in that country for this offense, does it meet our treaty requirements? Has anybody ever bumped into any problems with international law on the business side that you're willing to disclose that talks about, oh gosh, I didn't know this was going to happen, or because of some other problem on the other end of the financial risk, this wielded its ugly head? Does anybody have anything they're willing to disclose? KO4AK.
No, but I got a couple of questions. KY6V.
KY6V, sir, go ahead.
Hey, thanks, Art. Sure nice having you with us here tonight. KY6V, Gordon, South Florida. Two quick questions. In your walking through and getting involved with this with people, what is their general attitude? I suspect that you have some that will do nothing about ransomware on their equipment. They say to themselves, well, this will never happen to me. And there are others that will do everything and even more if they could. So I'd appreciate your comment on that. The second question would simply be, without overblowing the answer, just simply, where are these hackers primarily coming from? Country-wise, if no other descriptions available. Over.
KY6V, KY6V, KO4REK. Sir, thank you for the questions. Excellent ones. The general attitude in businesses is it's not going to happen to me until it's too late. I'm glad you brought this point up. If we have any attorneys or medical personnel that are listening, your malpractice insurance is not worth the written, with the paper it's written on when we're talking about this specific type of crime. Please, if you are in any way covered by HIPAA or a legal system, see what your malpractice insurance is. And you're going to find out very quickly it's pathetic. It has to be a specific rider to cover you. What the smarter entities are doing is they're not going to give you coverage unless you get with a cyber cop or cyber crime specialist or crime analyst or some other term that makes them happy, and that person signs off on you. Think of it like going for health insurance. When we went for health insurance years ago, you sat down, they took your blood pressure, they made sure you weren't a smoker of tobacco and all this other good stuff, and you weren't about to have a cardiac arrest. And that's how they determine your health insurance. Well, now we're doing the same thing with business insurance. So our cyber insurance is part of our life, but please make sure you understand what you're covered for and not covered for. I'm going to take a nickel, KO4REK. KO4REK. All right, so part two is what are we doing about the continuity of this in business? We have to be proactive. I gave out to our listeners a resource sheet. I'm going to, if you remember anything for tonight, please remember the following. Don't click it. That's all you need to remember. Don't click it. A lot of our threats are being delivered via email or via USB drive. I get to disclose to you about a case that actually involved me and my school here in just a moment. KO4REK. Do we have any first responders that can throw anything else at me or cover anything I've forgotten or any other cybersecurity experts or individuals in IT? Did I forget something that you think I really need to hit on? KO4REK. KO4REK. Does anybody know of anybody not necessarily you, but anybody you're aware of that went to go file for their tax refund after getting their taxes done and found out they were an identity theft. Does anybody either been affected by that or know anybody that's been affected by that? KO4REK. 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 Anybody copy? Over.
Yeah, we're copying you fine. Go ahead, Art. Over.
Copy. I had to dip down for a moment. I just want to make sure I didn't actually lose a full connection. Anyway, going back to ransomware. So individuals have gone to get their taxes done and then found out that it's already been done and they spent their refund. That's been very problematic in the last 5 to 10 years. That's increased with identity theft, which is part of ransomware. The part of ransomware that has to do with identity theft is this. I grab your identity off of somebody else's computer. Now, I tell that victim, let's say your doctor, I've got all your patient information. You decide not to disclose it or to pay me off to prevent me from disclosing it. I ignore you. After a couple of days, a certain amount of your information is released out to the public. Would anybody like to guess what kind of information we've retrieved off of foreign servers that have to deal with our citizens? Anybody want to guess? Over.
KV9EWG.
Good.
Okay, I'm going to just guess you probably name, address, email address, and probably most importantly, social security number and a few other pieces of pertinent information like that would be my guess, sir. KAB9EWG.
You would be correct. The information that was held hostage before it was encrypted and demanding that the business owner pays to get their own information back, they stole the information first. I downloaded from servers in public-facing websites from China pediatric patient records, including little babies' blood type, allergies, vaccinations, mommy and daddy, full name, date of birth, social security number, health insurance information, name, date of birth, social on little baby. Do you think that's enough to cause an identity theft crime to occur? I'd like to know if anybody's been affected by this or if they know somebody that's been affected by this. KO4AK.
KB9EWG.
Last letter is WG. Go ahead, please.
This is David. KB9EWG once again there. I personally have not been a victim of, in that respect. Oh, I would say probably close to now 25, almost 30 years ago. I was a, I guess you could say, a victim of identity theft in a way. I had just moved into a new apartment and was in the process of getting myself set up there, you know, phone service and everything else. And when I contacted the phone company to establish phone service, turns out my social security number had been used by somebody living in Milwaukee. Ran up a $400 phone bill, of course, didn't pay and got things shut off. And so it caused a problem for me getting phone service established because somebody else had used my social security number, unauthorized, of course. Of course, that was really, you know, before we really heard about identity theft and everything else at that time there, so I really had a hard time trying to prove it all. KB9EWG.
KO4REK. That's an excellent example. It hasn't happened to me. I actually know it happened to a police officer friend of mine. A warrant was generated for him for writing false checks and bouncing them. The videotape showed it was obviously not him. The reason it was so easily caught was the individual, the suspect, used a cop's checkbook that he found that he stole from an incoming mail from the individual officer. Well, everybody knew this officer, so it took a very short amount of time to clear that guy's name, and it was very easily solved that who the suspect was. But it doesn't always have to be a high-tech mechanism. It can be a low-tech way. Example, going through our trash, going through our incoming mail, going through our outgoing mail. There's a lot of reasons why we not only have to worry about the high-tech crimes of things, but we have to worry about the low-tech crimes of things. The high-tech crimes, please don't use public Wi-Fi and do banking or anything online. As a matter of fact, just stay away from public Wi-Fi. I'll explain to you man in middle in just a second after I take a nickel. But what I'd like to know is there anything else I need to hit on that anybody's I've maybe mentioned and you want a further explanation of it? If you would, please tell me. KO4REK, can I take a nickel?
KY6V.
KY6V, KY6V, KO4REK.
Hey, thanks, Art. I'm going to ask a question here to take us back to basics. First of all, let me ask you this question. With the problems we currently face with the world's wide web, such as personal information protection, you're touching that right now, misleading information, spammers and all of that, etc., etc., where do you place ransomware in the priority list of everything that's going on? Over.
KO4REK, unfortunately, towards the top. There have been documented cases, unfortunately, where cyber crimes have been directly related to terrorism. Our American businesses are being ripped off, and the money they're being ripped off is helped to fund killing our own personnel. That's where that relationship is. Also, it's destroying our American businesses. It's not just the business owner. It's the employees of that business that are being destroyed. So I put ransomware as one of the top ones, and it's got its nasty, ugly grasps in a lot of different things. So even if you wouldn't call it directly ransomware related, it may be. But that's our number one threat right now for our businesses and our people and our personnel. It's horrible to think that our healthcare system can be held hostage by cyber criminals that are nowhere near our country. And that's what we're battling right now. If you read my bio, you know I'm very passionate about two things. One is putting bad guys in prison, and the other thing is educating people to help secure our network infrastructure and our cybersecurity. I'd encourage everybody, if you got young people in your life especially, please encourage them. If they're STEM-pointed, science, technology, engineering, mathematics, please encourage them to go that direction. We are sorely hurting that. And I can tell you that as an instructor. KO4REK. I'm going to take a nickel. KO4REK. Anybody got any relatives that are young people that just graduated with a STEM field? Science, technology, engineering, mathematics. We got any cyber people out there? We got any nurses, doctors, EMTs, paramedics, somebody trying to put somebody's hands on something to make it work right, whether it be a human being or a piece of machinery. Anybody out there want to disclose any good stuff? KO4REK?
Well, I'll throw you a wrinkle here, Art. KY6V.
KY6V, KO4REK. Go ahead, sir.
I'm sort of throwing this at you with tongue in cheek. But that last question of yours got me. My youngest son graduated here within the last year and a half. Is now holding a doctor's degree in music. He's a very accomplished classical guitarist, etc. Where does that fit? Over.
If you're asking me as a college instructor, my answer is as long as the kid is making money, I really don't care if it's legal. I mean, as long as it's legal. K4RK.
Okay. Let me ask you one more thing while I got the helm here. What is the most frequent way that these hackers are getting into our computers? Now, I understand the email, and I understand finding weaknesses in some of the programs that we use and so on and so forth. But is there one general avenue that they find effective more than others when they're trying to do dirty with us? Over.
KO4REK, you're absolutely correct. The number one threat vector, or in other words, the number one way the bad guys try and get into us is a bad email. This email will appear to be from somebody you trust. Example, a vice president in your company, your cybersecurity division of your bank as a private citizen. These are people that you believe you trust. So these individuals try to purport to be somebody they're not, and that's called phishing, P-H-I-S-I-N-G. Instead of phishing with a F, it's P-H. And what that means is I make my email look like I'm sending it to you, and it's coming from something legit, but when you actually dig into it, it's not from there. On our SCARS website, and yeah, I'm very proud to be a member of this website. Thanks very much for accepting my membership or for our club. If you look at that, you got two articles and one resource sheet. Please look at the resource sheet. It's fun. It's easy. It makes its point, and it's how to help, not an absolute, but how to help spot fake emails. I hope that gets people going the right direction. KO4AK. Does that answer it? Over.
Yeah, it sure did. Thank you, Art. Go ahead, sir. KY6V.
So you asked me about different threat vectors. The most number one methodology is obviously the email, like I just disclosed. Number two, bad USB thumb drives, especially when it comes to industrial espionage. Bad guys leave thumb drives on the bathroom floors of other companies or in their hallways. On these thumb drives are nice juicy files called 2022 raises or 2022 terminations. Now, if you're an employee and you find this and you shove it in your machine, do you think that you might open it up? The answer is, I hope you don't. I hope you don't even shove it in your machine. But you know where I'm going with this. The problem is you picked it up and you put it into a computer. That's another way for bad guys to get it. I'm going to disclose to you something. I wanted to do a press release on it, but I couldn't. Secret Service asked me not to, but enough time's expired. So I'm going to talk about it because that was 3 years ago. I'm going to take a nickel, KO4REK. KO4REK, KO4REK. About 2.5 years ago, I was teaching a class at my community college where I'm an instructor. A student, I watched him open up the box with the thumb drives. He put a thumb drive from the box he just opened up, put it in the front of one of our machines, and immediately decided it was a good idea to pull the power plug out of the back of the machine along with the network cable. By the way, the student was correct in his actions. We took the thumb drive, put it in a forensic lab, and found out it had a cyber threat on it. That thumb drive came to this country with a cyber threat on it. I'm going to tell you something that was very disheartening that one of my fellow instructors told me that was not a computer information technology instructor. Anybody got any emergency traffic or any questions? KO4REK, I'm going to take a nickel.
W4RFJ here. I got a comment, something I'd like to share. Being in the computer arena, bachelor's degree in IT, network administration. Anyway, just got a little feedback on that USB drive thing.
KO4REK, KO4REK. Go ahead, please, sir.
Okay, Art. Yeah, you only need to say your call sign once, but anyway, the name here is Roger, W4RFJ, and I've actually worked in the computer field for many, many years, and I can tell you this right off the bat. Unless you have protective software on your computer, do not plug any USB that you do not know what's on it into it, because the minute you plug that in, it does a handshake with your computer and will run a program that's on that USB drive without you even knowing it. So that's my feedback on that. So that is probably one of the worst cases. The company that I work for, I just retired last February, and my hat's off to you, and I thank you for your service, sir. I did serve as a, while I was in the Navy, went through auxiliary security force training, and I can tell you, USB drives are IT department's biggest nightmare. All right, that's all I got to say. W4RFJ.
KO4REK. KO4REK. Sir, thank you for your service as well. You're exactly right. That student took that USB thumb drive out of the box and put it into a regular computer on our network for our school. That system shut it down immediately. It reacted exactly what I was hoping it would. What we were able to do was take that thumb drive, walk it across the hallway, and I've got an isolated lab. If you ever, we're going to put more information about there, but I work for SkyCTC, SKYCTC. We're one of 16 community colleges in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, and I work in one of probably 7 labs of our class as far as the collegiate level. Would it be a 2 or 4-year university? I put our lab in the top 7 easy, probably top 5 in reality. It's a full forensics lab that we can simulate LAN and WAN attacks across it, and I teach Cisco 1 and 2, if that kind of tells you where I'm coming from. But you're absolutely correct. I just got lucky. It was one of my students that picked up a thumb drive out of a box and stuck it in a computer. One of my coworkers said, what if that was one of us, meaning non-IT, with a non-CIT, computer information technology student? What if a nursing student picked up that thumb drive and shoved that machine? They may have not realized exactly what was going on as fast as that kid did. So anybody else got any comments? KO4REK, I'm tired talking.
Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima.
My hero.
I believe the unofficial call sign was My Hero. My Hero, can you go ahead, please?
Yeah, from Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Thank you, Chief. Roger there. This is Dave over here in Newport in South Wales. And it was coming up the court at the 1 in the morning. I'd like to revisit the point when you said that companies have to be vetted by a security professional before they could get insurance for things like ransomware attacks. When you actually vet a company, what do they have to demonstrate to be vetted and approved there at? From Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima.
KO4REK. That is an excellent question. My first gut response is make sure it's not a competitor. Example, you work for a company. You're in their IT department. Your company is big enough where you have your own IT department. You are not going to hire an outside company that wants to take over your internal IT company policy and procedures and labor. What you want to do is you want to find a company that refuses to take over IT for your company and is willing to sign a contract. That's what I do. I have no desire to take over anybody's IT, but I'd rather just help them. So if you're happy with your IT company and you want a second set of eyes, that's what you want to do. Go outside of your organization, make sure it's not anybody that wants anything to do with taking over your IT, and get an honest response from them. I'm going to get on my high horse for just 1 second and tell you, that if an audit is presented in an adversarial format, it is absolutely worthless, and you should fire that individual on the spot. Nobody is going to learn anything from somebody with that type of attitude. Got to take your nickel because I got to get my blood pressure down. KO4RK. Any other comments? Over.
That was somebody coming through the ham's conference server, Art. You may want them to try it again. They were very noisy. Well, I'm sorry. Let me jump in here, Art. The station coming through the ham server looks like you're coming through a repeater system. I don't know if you're on the fringe of service or just what, but you are unreadable at this point. And when I throw it back to you, Art, I'm going to ask you my last question here. You know, we're getting to the bottom line here, and I want to know who's who and who's shooting John. Have any ransomware hackers, to your knowledge, been caught, jailed, fined, etc.? KY6V, over.
KY6V, this is KO4REK, and the answer is not even close to where it should be. There have been arrests made. Is it anywhere close to where we need for the prosecution of the law? The answer is absolutely no. I'm going to give you two quick points. I'd like you to look at in Articles 1 and 2, and then, of course, I think it's listed as Article number 3, and that's actually my resource sheet. First case was German patient a couple years ago. She's in Radford Hospital. She has got some serious problems. Hospital advises divert. We are under a ransomware attack. Our computers are null and void. She diverts. She dies. The question was the delay in her care causing her death? I only watch countries that have a similar system to us here in the United States. Germany was one of them. And unfortunately, the Germans could say, we can't say she would have lived. My hat is off to them for saying at least they tried. Second big case that you're going to look at in your articles is United States with a female victim here. She goes in for a C-section delivery of a baby. Everything was supposed to be scheduled. Everything was supposed to be going fine. Read the case for yourself. Things did not go fine. And her claim against the hospital is, you've been under a ransomware attack for more than a little bit, and you did not disclose it when I walked in the door. I was not in life or death. Neither was my baby. I could have gone to another hospital. You didn't advise me, so there you go. Those are my big cases. This is KO4REK. I know we're coming to the end of our time, and I don't want to go over my 3-minute. I'm asking for any other questions or comments. What did I not hit? Anybody want me to hit something? KO4REK.
My hero's looking to make another question.
My hero, go ahead, copy.
Yeah, Art, you know, in layman's terms, and as easy as you can, what's the first thing a person should do? If they're browsing the web and they get sent off to a place that they didn't really actually want to be, and all of a sudden they get a pop-up saying, you got to send me money, what do they got to do to avoid that possible trap. There you go.
KO4RK. The United States government is never going to ask you over the internet to pay a fine. I'm grateful you brought that up. I saw a hoax crime one time that said, you've been looking at child pornography, send me money or else you're going to prison. This was an 80-year-old female. She didn't understand half the words that were on that piece of paper that were sent to her on that ransomware note. So my first advice is, one, don't do a dang thing. And number two, call the cops. If they don't have a cyber unit, ask them where the nearest one is. And if your gut is telling you this does not smell right, it does not smell right. No one's going to ask you for confidential information over the internet. Name, date of birth, social security number, email address, password, anything along those lines. Oh, your kid's blood type, for the love of God, please don't do that. Nobody needs to know your child's blood type besides you. and, of course, the child's physician. But I saw that one as well as a secret question to help get your data back was your blood, your child's blood type. And by the way, the bad guy already knew it because he stole it from the doctor's office in the method we discussed earlier. This has been KO4REK. I want to stick around for a moment or two to make sure I didn't miss anything. And also, please download my resource sheet. If I can be of assistance to you, I love nonprofits. Please hit me up. I'm on Facebook and on LinkedIn. My contact information is on that resource sheet. And as always, please, everybody, be safe. And just don't click it. Don't click it. That's all I got to ask. KO4AK.
VK2DY.
Station calling. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, good morning. It's Robert, VK2DY in Northwestern Sydney. Yeah, I've seen a lot of scams. My wife almost fell to a scam. They called her, said it was PayPal, and she'd given them all of our credit card numbers. But fortunately, they were still on the line, and I was able to get online and cancel all the cards before they did anything with them. But we came very, very close to being scammed. So, yeah, they do that a lot. And latest apparently scam that I've heard of is people are getting texts now from Border Force saying, "We've received a package that contains illegal substances. Please call us immediately, or we'll have an arrest warrant out on you," or something like that. Anyway, they're trying to get information, and of course our forms of ID are Medicare card and driver's license. That's 100 points of ID. So that's the information they're trying to get from us to do a scam. So to pretend that they're you, all they need is those two pieces of information, and they can pretend that they're you. So that's the information they're trying to squeeze out of you. But anyway, that was just my two random thoughts here. And the other question is, assuming that you get locked up on a machine and you have a backup on it and there's nothing sensitive on the machine, is there any way to just reformat it, or is it going to survive the reformat, or what do you do? Do you replace the hard drive? Do you get rid of the machine? What do you do, assuming that all you need to do to recover is erase the machine? VK2DY.
KO4REK. I'm going to answer those in reverse order. The first one is, it's called a low-level format. In other words, we're going to destroy everything electronically on that physical device. And then we're going to wipe it over with what we want to be on there. I can't give you a blanket answer because it all depends on the technology of the device. Example, modern cell phones, Android and Apple, when you do a factory reset, you do a really good job of destroying that evidence. Even I feel comfortable after a factory reset under the right circumstances with my phone to give it to a complete stranger for $20 if you do it correctly. So that's one thing that you brought up. And the other thing was on the identity theft and all the different other mechanisms that are out there. And you're absolutely correct. There's a lot of different mechanisms out there on how we can get attacked. And the biggest thing I can tell you is don't believe a dang thing. I don't care what country you're in. I don't care if you have an IRS tax return or whatever your country calls it in. You are susceptible to that. So if your gut even halfway tells you this stuff doesn't smell right, the answer is no, absolutely do not pass go. Do not collect $200. It's bad. If you even suspect it, it's bad. Chances are it's bad. I hope that answers your question. And thank you for bringing up those points. And I forgot to bring those up earlier. KO4REK.
Yes, thank you very much. It's so easy to get scammed out there. Another friend of ours got scammed. Somebody claimed that they wanted to buy her furniture off Gumtree. Gumtree is our version of Craigslist. And they wanted her to send money first. For some weird reason, she did it, unfortunately, and they never caught him. But there's just so many easy ways that people get scammed. It's just amazing. Thank you again for a wonderful talk. VK2DY, back to net.
KO4REK, I'm glad you enjoyed it. This is KO4REK. Did I miss anything before the conclusion of our program? Or, I'm sorry, I neglected, of course, emergency traffic goes first. Anything I missed before we close this out? KO4REK.
Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima with another question for you, Art.
Station calling Zulu. Go ahead, please. KO4REK.
Yeah, this is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima, Dave, over here in Newport in South Wales. There's a scam that actually raises its ugly head every now and again, normally every couple of years, and then it just disappears. You know, when you shut your computer off at night and turn it on in the morning, and there's a screen saying that, we detected illegal activity, illegal use activity on your computer. And if you don't pay us so much money, we will release the information to the relevant authorities. And is there any easy way for sort of a general member of the public, not computer literate, to know whether this is real or fake, or just assume it's fake and hope for the best? Hi. Back to you there, Art, from Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima.
KO4REK. I can tell you, as a retired police officer here in the United States, we do not send warrant information via pop-up screens on your bloody computer. If a person truly had a warrant, somebody in uniform would be knocking on their door. This is called scareware. Unfortunately, here's the most common one that I've seen is, you've been looking at child pornography, and if you don't give us money for the fine for looking at child pornography, you're going to prison. Well, everybody knows you're going to prison for child pornography. End of story. So these individuals read that and get very scared. It's bad guys. And once you give them a little bit of information, as we all know, that's the end of that. They're going to take all the information they can get from you. So yeah, that one's called scareware. The one I was referring to, I just want to clarify on something called extortionware. That's the one where I steal all your doctor's information and with ransomware, and you think I'm okay because I got good copies of it. Well, nope. I start emailing your individual clients with their name, date of birth, social security number, and saying, you're too cheap to give me money, and that's why you're about to lose your business. That's another attack we've been seeing against businesses, not just in the United States, but in a lot of Western culture countries. KO4. R-E-K.
Yeah, from Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Yeah, thank you very much there, Art. Over here in the UK, it pops up every couple of years for a couple of months and then vanishes again. thank you very much for that. Much appreciated. I'll pass it back to you. From Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima.
Copy. I'm going to close it out. I'm looking for any other end questions or comments. We're coming to the close of our hour. Is there any other questions or comments before we close? KO4REK.
KY6B.
REK. Net control, I'm asking you to take over and close us out, please. KO4REK clear.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Art. KY6B. Thanks for coming by, everybody. And Art, thank you very, very much for the presentation tonight. I'll do my best to have the recording ready for publishing in a podcast form for the website tomorrow sometime before noon. So everybody have a good evening, and thank you one and all. KY6B clear.